Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the On Fire B2B podcast where we take business owners and CEOs in the B2B space. Six questions in 9 minutes because the best know when to be concise and when to end. And here we go. Question number one in a couple sentences. Who are you and what do you do?
My name is Sharon Abbott, and I have helped entrepreneurs find new business the easiest way, most effectively, and over 20 years, and I have 90% of all my clients are still in business today.
Love it. Love it. Question number two, what's the best thing about working with businesses?
I love seeing the progress when the light goes on, when somebody actually gets what they need to do, instead of doing things the old way, they're willing to try something new.
I completely agree with you on that one. Question number three, what is the biggest challenge your business is facing in today's world?
I think it's the idea of having to shift instead of doing face-to-face, that people now have to look at alternative ways of getting in front of new prospects.
I 100% agree on that one as well. Question number four, what other top CEOs and business owners in the B2B industry like yourself should be on the On Fire B2B podcast?
I would think at this time, anyone who does event planning, social media, various ways of marketing a small business to get them help in learning how to do things easily without having to break through their fears and preconceived notions.
Okay, that works there. You're ahead of schedule. You have 7 minutes and 39 seconds left. Let's get to question number five. What advice would you share with other companies working in the B2B industry? Go.
I have found that anybody working in B2B is much better off if they build what I termed a trademark power partner relationships. So obviously, somebody who uses a CPA also uses an accounting firm, also uses a banker and a business attorney. If all four of those people got together on even Zoom once a week and said, these are the people that I have met in the last week, then they would be able to create a referral basis. What I used to do is have people to get together every Friday with three other people and sit down, exchange the business cards they've collected in the time that they had met the last time. And then on Monday, they could say, I'm giving you a call. Bob gave me your name, and I'd love to see how I can help you develop more business for yourself. That business closed 50% more than any other type of business referral. So I tracked it over the years. Go to a chamber, 1 in 20. Go to a professional organization, 1 in 5. 1 in 3, if it was a personal referral, you went from prospect to closed client. So that is probably the easiest way for people to build business more rapidly.
I love it. I love how you made it very clear. You know, start doing them on Zoom once a week. That makes it very easy there. That is wonderful. Let's get to question number six. This is the most important question of the podcast. Sharon, tell me about your first time. Your first sale.
Well, if I had to go to the very first sale, it would go back to my days of selling in Fortune 500 industry, and that was terrifying. I was one of those people who hated salespeople. You know, I thought everybody was like a used car salesperson, nothing wrong with them, but I didn't like the attitude that they were trying to trick somebody into doing something that they didn't really want to do. And my concept was, if I can help somebody do business better, smarter, more profitably, then technically I wasn't selling, I was doing consulting work. So my very first sale was with Beckman Instruments, Jim Campbell, over in Menlo Park, California. And I walked in after doing this elaborate proposal. I went through page by page. This is, if you do this, this is how much money you'll save. If you do that, this is how much money you'll save. Because in a corporation, it's not how much you make. It's basically how much you can save the company. I walked out with a purchase order of $45,000, went back to my office over in Hayward, which was across the San Mateo Bridge, and all the other salespeople were sitting around with their feet up, waiting for me to come in, and my boss said, well, how did it go, with a smirk on his face. I put my briefcase down, I pulled out the purchase order, and you could have heard a pin drop. He said, oh my God, we've been trying to close that account for 3 years. What the hell did you do?
I love that there, because everyone's being all expecting there. Basically, you just whipped that sales form route out and slammed it on the table.
Yes. And so that was a huge lesson for me. When you actually speak to what people need, then you're fulfilling something that they have to do. on, let's say, a higher majority of the time than most of the salespeople that I had worked with in that Fortune 500 companies. They sold what they had instead of what the people needed. And I think that that is a huge point for people to understand. Like a payroll person might go into a company when they've just started out and they have no employees, so they don't need payroll, but maybe they need a bookkeeper, right? So if the payroll person refers them a bookkeeper, that company will remember their kindness. And when they do hire an employee, they'll probably remember to give them the business.
Love it there. Sharon, you have 3 minutes and 33 seconds left. Promo time, ask me a question, talk about the weather, or sense the best know when to be concise and when to end, we end early. Go.
What I'd love to do is have everybody think about what is the one thing that they could do to be able to increase their business with the least amount of stress and effort on their part. I spoke at over 45 different outplacement agencies here in the Bay Area. Every single week I was somewhere different, every year, one after another. And I encourage people to start their own businesses. So your audience is pretty much B2B. What if all these people who have a business could encourage other people by speaking where people have lost their jobs and encourage them to start their own business so they have control over their own life? So that means when they have children who have activities, they can take the time and participate in their children's lives. They don't have to spend an hour getting to a job and an hour getting back, which means they just save themselves 10 hours a week by not having to commute. What I found typically is somebody who had a job could work one third less number of hours to make the same amount of money. And what I found is without a single doubt, when you track your efforts, you will find what works for you and how to make yourself more profitable, how to have more fun doing your business, because it isn't like having to reinvent the wheel every week. And the hardest thing for entrepreneurs to remember is to target your audience. You are not going to sell everybody, so fine-tune it. And when you track your efforts, you will understand who your ideal audience is and then focus on that.
Love it there. There we go, you pulled it off. 6 questions in 9 minutes because the best know when to be concise and when to end. Say your website real quick.
SharonAbbott.com.
In the description, it's magic. Sharon, thank you so much for being on. Tip of the hat to you.
Wonderful, Bob. Thank you.
You're welcome. And everyone else watching or listening, make sure you check out more episodes of the On Fire B2B podcast. My name is Bob Clark. You all have a wonderful day. Talk to you later. Bye.